Roz and Emma, RTE 2FM.
Keenja Crowe, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. So it's been a busy few years for you. Your album Victory went to number one in the UK and Ireland. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How did you celebrate it?
Drank loads of champagne and went on holidays.
Oh, I love that. Where did we go on holidays?
Ibiza.
Ibiza. Yeah. Oh my God. How was that? Were you in the like quiet part or did we go party side?
I was in like the quiet part for sure. But then I went to watch Calvin Harris. That's kind of like why I went. I'll go see Calvin Harris because he's playing. And then I'll just chill in like a nice quiet place. It was really nice.
Was it your first time seeing Calvin Harris perform?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him at the summer when he played Longitude. It was probably one of the best gigs I've been to.
It's class.
Yeah,
isn't it? Like every song is like a hit.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And there's so many. There's sort of like behind the stage, there's in Ushuaia, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I think that's where he's playing. Behind the stage, there's like a little sort of like guests bar, you know, for like friends and stuff. And I was in there talking to some people and his set is playing on the TV while you're getting a drink. And I forgot that he was playing or didn't even realize that he had kind of started because the songs are all such hits. They're the kind of things that you just hear on the radio constantly.
Yeah.
So like we were kind of like, oh, that's fully like his set. Like this isn't just like the radio playing like the latest hits. That's just Calvin Harris has started and he's played like four songs and we didn't even realize that it was him.
I love that.
So it's like so funny. And this, the whole set is just like, you're like, oh my God, this is Calvin Harris as well. You're just like, what the hell?
So I saw you perform in the Academy. I think it was like November 2021.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then I saw you in the Workman's, which was like, I think a year later, like last year I saw you in the Workman's. Right. And now you've sold out a 10-date tour. You're going to be playing in Musgrave Park. You're going to be playing St. Anne's Park, the Three Olympia for two nights. Like, how wild has that been for you?
I think you're always like, just like so excited to maybe one day do those shows.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, it's very hard to comprehend it. So you don't really think it's going to... I mean, I never imagined that I would be playing Musgrave Park and St. Anne's. Like, it wasn't really even something that I knew kind of existed.
Yeah.
To that extent, you know, you sometimes think about, you know, the Three Arena or like things like that, but sort of those gigs are like so insanely huge and like something that people started to say, oh, sure, surely you're going to do Musgrave Park, you know? And I was like, is there even that many people in Cork like to fill Musgrave Park? Like, I don't know. And then suddenly I was just told like, yeah, we're going to do Musgrave Park and St. Anne's. And I'm like, that's nuts. You know, that's just crazy, crazy. So I'm like, I'm just so excited for it. And obviously we have the gigs at the Olympia and like just, it's also, I love obviously gigging in Ireland. It's usually pretty much always by far the best. Hopefully no other country gets to hear this interview, but the best part of the tour for sure.
Do you have any pre-show rituals that you do before each show?
Not really.
No.
To be honest. I don't know. It's just like when I went on tour with Ed and I don't think he has any rituals. I mean, we would be talking up until 2 minutes before he goes on stage, you know,
yeah.
And then he'll just change his shoes and go on stage. And so I was like, well, he's got no rituals. Like he's probably the most successful, sustainable touring artist, solo artist of maybe all time. And has been going for so long and seems to be completely unfathomed by it. And I was like, yeah, I think it's like, I've heard of people who do have rituals and who get really anxious before and they have to do this and that and this. And I'll just warm up. I always warm up my voice an hour before on stage usually. And that's pretty much it. But like, yeah, there's not really any sort of ritual. Sometimes put music on if you want to get pumped up. Sometimes drink a coffee.
Would you listen to your own music before?
No.
No.
Imagine. So annoying. And then listen to it all again while I'm on stage performing it for the 1,000th time.
What's your favorite song out of all your songs?
I don't have one.
You don't have one, no. I suppose it's probably like picking your favorite child.
Yeah. I don't really like my songs anyway, so like I don't...
Sorry, hang on. Back up. You don't like your songs?
Not that much. Like I would never listen to them.
Okay.
You know, except
that's
for where
interesting.
I'm working on them. Yeah.
I suppose it's because it's like, it's a work thing for you.
Not even that. It's more just like, you don't listen to yourself. You know? It's like, you just don't listen to whatever it is that you do. I don't know. Like I don't go on Spotify and play Keenja Crowe, you know? It'd be super weird. And so like... I'm not like some of my songs, like when I make them, I'm like, yeah, what a vibe. And like, I love the process of making it and the art and all that. But then it's done and I'm like, cool. Like, maybe, you know, I enjoyed making that. But I'm always trying to make something that I love more and more and more. And I'm constantly chasing that. And hopefully one day I'll make something that I'm like super in love with. And I'm like, oh, that's sick. But like the music, I write it and I spend so much time with it. By the time it's out, I'm like oh my God, get it away from me. You know, like, I don't even listen to music really in the genre of the music that I make. May I kind of, maybe, but like, rarely. Or at least maybe I try to, and then I make stuff that's like not as good. So I'm like, oh shit.
What's your go-to then for listening?
I listen to a lot of Jack Harlow, to be honest.
I love him.
Yeah, I love Jack Harlow. Listen to a lot of rap. I listen to a lot of stuff. I think I listen to Jack Harlow because his music is very like confident boosting.
Yeah.
Makes you feel really confident. And he talks about the industry and life and the world and sort of changing when you become an artist. And obviously his success is like so massive, but I relate it to so much of his music. I just like listen to a lot of that because it makes you just feel like you're understanding what's happening in the changes in your life.
Yeah.
And then I just like, I don't know, random stuff. Coldplay, 1975, things like that. I like bands, stuff like that. Love Ed Sheeran, especially like the early songwriting he was doing and stuff. And like, so just like whatever, any good music. It can be rap, it can be Central C, it can be Dave, it can be like anything really.
I feel like me and you have the same taste in music, especially there with the Jack Harlow, the rap, the Central C, the Daves.
Yeah.
I'm like here for it all.
Yeah, they're good though. They're great.
And I have to ask you because as I mentioned to you earlier on, I do have a co-host, Roz, who sadly couldn't be here today. And Roz is very nosy. She always likes to ask people what's on their rider for, because we're constantly talking about, would we put this on it? Would we put that on it? What's on your rider for your gigs?
Ginger shots, sandwich making stuff, or like wrap making stuff. So like lettuce, salad, ham, cheese, stuff for vegetarian people, falafel, mayonnaise, Ballymaloe relish, obviously, when you get to Ireland. What else? Water, sparkling water, red wine. I don't know how that got on there, though. I definitely didn't put that on there.
Do you not drink red wine?
I do drink red wine, but not every day. So like... I think Nathan probably slipped it on there. But there basically was no alcohol ever for ages. I think now there's like a bottle of red wine and then it just kind of stocks up in the bus if we ever have a night of cheese and wine. Cheese was there. I don't know. It kind of changes every now and then because you're like, oh, I never eat that now. So some fruit, some like sort of cereal kind of bars or whatever, some like... lentil crisps. We try to make it healthy.
I was going to say, you're so healthy. Like compared to other people who've come in and they're like boxes of champagne and chocolates and jellies. I love like the ginger shots.
Yeah, but it's unsustainable. I literally am in a dressing room with a rider every day for like 365 days of the year. Imagine you just... And sometimes people think they're doing you a favor and they're like, they put chocolates on there to like surprise you. They're like, oh, we'll give them some chocolates. And everyone's like, we didn't want chocolates. You should almost write strictly no chocolates because we'll eat them.
Keenja Crow, thank you so much. Before we finish up, have you got anything coming up over the next few months that you can let us in on?
St. Anne's Park, baby. Yeah. That's going to be highlight of the year. Well, next year, I suppose.
Hearts around Cork have just broken as they listen to this because a Cork man has just said that the Dublin gig is going to be the highlight of the year instead of the Cork gig.
The highlight of the year in Dublin. Obviously, those three shows that we're doing, the C sessions of, will be amazing as well. And obviously, Musgrave Park is a dream, and that's going to be super special.
Keane, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. You too. Roz and Emma, RTE 2FM.